In Louisiana, a 13-year-old is arrested after sharing a Snapchat video. In Missouri, a teacher is arrested after an inappropriate contact relationship with a student. And in Florida, authorities released details about a disappearance and killing of a 13-year-old. These stories and more are coming at you today, Wednesday, September 25th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton, and it sounds like we've got a bunch of teenage stories coming up.
Yeah, man. And, a lot of crazy stuff.
And for Hump Day, and it's just never ending saga.
Yeah.
It's a crime.
Never run out of content,
right?
In the crime.
That's
for sure. That
law enforcement officers never have to worry about running out of work.
No, I used to, our mutual friend, Lance Landry, every time I see him, I say, how are you doing? And he says, business is good.
Yeah, it's always.
He's a warden at a prison now, so.
Good dude. Love you, Lance. Well, let's get down to some true crime time for Wednesday.
All right, and we're going to, speaking of Livingston Parish, we're going to go straight to Livingston Parish with this story, and we're going to dive into a pretty serious topic that is, this is becoming an issue all over the country and happening all over the country, but a 13-year-old boy found himself in some pretty hot water after sharing a concerning post on social media. The morning of September 20th, local law enforcement, they get a tip from the FBI, of all people, about a Snapchat post that raised more than a few eyebrows. The post featured a young guy holding a weapon in front of a door with a caption that hinted at potential harm to Live Oak High School.
What?
Sheriff Jason Ard of the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office, he reported that the kid was promptly taken into custody and booked into the Florida Parish's Juvenile Detention Center for making terroristic threats.
Used to work.
It's no joke when it comes to safety in school, and they don't take these things lightly. What's important to note is that the boy wasn't the one in the photo. He just shared it. But that didn't lessen the gravity of that situation. Now, Sheriff Ard emphasized the need for vigilance, stating that similar concerning posts are popping up across social media and being investigated by law enforcement nationwide. So this isn't just a Livingston Parish issue, for example. So if you see something that looks suspicious, don't share it, because you can be arrested for that, report it to someone who can handle it. And Sheriff Ford actually shared a couple of quick nuggets that you should always keep in mind, especially if you're a juvenile. So you may want to share this with your kids. Think before you share. If you come across posts about school shootings, threats, anything like that, it's better to report them, obviously, than it is to share them. There's an app out there if you're local, Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office app, and you can submit a tip through that app, and you can certainly let law enforcement know that way. And in most police stations now have their own apps
and social media.
Yeah. So, and stay informed. When credible threats are identified, authorities, they're going to keep everyone in the loop. Rely on their information. Don't rely on something you see on social media. And Sheriff Ford, he made it crystal clear these kind of posts are taken seriously, and there is a zero tolerance policy for anything that puts children's safety in jeopardy. So parents, have a chat with your kids. Let them know about the impact, because a lot of these kids, they're not going to know it's as big a deal as what it really is. They, you know, they don't get that. Livingston Parish School Superintendent Jody Purvis also weighed in and emphasized that any threats against schools will not be tolerated. The safety of the students and staff is top priority, and everyone is on high alert. And Woody, I've seen probably six stories in the last 2 days of these threats taking place at high schools. And most times it's just a joke, but they're not finding it funny anymore.
Yeah. I actually worked for Ward, the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office, and Florida Parish Juvenile Detention Center, where the kids locked up. But the talking about, you know, not sharing the post, if you got somebody sent you a picture of a naked kid being raped, you're not going to share that.
No.
And so don't share, somebody holding a gun saying we're going to go kill people at Live Oak High School. Right. It's the same thing. I mean, yeah. It's just you, I guess people don't think about it like that, especially young people. I think it's cool. I don't know. It's not cool. And, think about all the ones that happen every day that we're never going to hear about. Because the cops are investigating these things.
And that's right.
And I'm sure a lot of the kids are being dumbasses they don't really intend to follow through with it, but who knows?
There's some that do, though, and you've got to treat them all as if they're all the ones that do.
Absolutely correct. And now I'm going to take you to Florida and tell you this story is disturbing. It's about another 13-year-old. And authorities in Florida have released details about their investigation into the disappearance and killing of 13-year-old Madeline Soto, shedding light on the alleged sexual abuse police say the teenager experienced at the hands of her mother's boyfriend. But stick with me because this really gets twisted. And I actually lived in this town, Kissimmee, which is right outside of Orlando. Anyway, Madeline disappeared from her Kissimmee, Florida home on February 26th, and her body was found in a wooded area on March the 1st, and that's according to the Orange County Sheriff's Office. But prior to recovering her body, police arrested her mother's boyfriend, 37-year-old Stefan Stearns, on unrelated charges of possessing child sexual abuse material. Now, the Orange County Sheriff's Office has now released a video of their interview with Madeline's mom, Jennifer Soto, which took place on March the 1st, hours before the teenager's body was found. During the nearly three-hour interview clip, an investigator references Jennifer's claim that she, her boyfriend, and Madeline all slept in the same bed together. And expressed the suspicions that Jennifer knew about her boyfriend's sexual abuse. It seems like some of your emotions are not sincere, the investigator says to Jennifer. I feel like some of your sadness is not real sadness, he adds. Jennifer, who broke down in tears at times during the interview, pushes back. If I knew anything, I promise you I'd tell you, she says, offering to take a lie detector test. I've never seen any signs. I tried watching her like a hawk. I thought I was doing a good job, but I wasn't, she says, breaking down. I was oblivious to everything for 4 years. Well, in August, the sheriff's office released a case supplemental report. The report claimed that upon learning that police found photos and videos showing Stearns sexually abusing a child, Jennifer said, he's been grooming and abusing my child. It's crazy, right? But anyway, so Madeline, the 13-year-old, died from strangulation. And that's according to the medical examiner's report. In Osceola County, Florida, court records reviewed by, they show Stearns was charged with first-degree murder in April in connection with Madeline's death. And Jennifer has not been charged in connection with the case. And, that's just fucking twisted, bro. That reminds me of Gerald Bordelon. I don't know if I can even say this. I'm going to say it anyway. I guess he's dead. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to say the woman's name. His victim's mom, I read a letter that he wrote to a family member stating that the victim's mom gave the little girl to him as a present for his birthday, gave him to her sexually. And she was like 11 at the time. And then he ended up killing her. I don't get it. How are you going to sleep in the same bed for four fucking years and not know?
There's no way, man. Bullshit. All right, we're going to get to Missouri, and I wish I could say it gets better with the stupidity with some of these adults, but it doesn't in Missouri. So here we go again. Haley Clifton Carmack, a former high school teacher from McQuay, Missouri, entered a guilty plea for some serious troubling charges involving an inappropriate relationship with a student. Now, initially, she faced the heavy hitters, child molestation, statutory rape, endangering a child's welfare, but thanks to a plea deal, those charges were dropped. What led to her downfall, you ask? Well, it turned out to be a 16-year-old boy who was allegedly involved with her, and he showed a classmate some pretty incriminating photos. These images revealed scratches on his back that he claimed were left by Haley during their encounters, which supposedly took place in a driveway that belonged to another student. Now, that was quite the scandal in Missouri. So she's looking at a possible 4-year sentence as she awaits her fate, with her sentencing set for October 11th. So for now, Haley is on house arrest and she's waiting to learn her punishment. And the drama only gets kind of juicier from there. One of her students who acted as a witness told detectives that Haley often shared too much about her personal life in class, a little TMI from the teacher, right? So much so that she had previously been warned by school officials about being too close to her students. Apparently, this wasn't a one-off thing. She had a history of concerning interactions. And get this, the same student who mentioned the young victim himself claims that he was the catalyst for Haley's divorce, which her husband filed right around August of 2023. Yep. Things were heating up and not in a good way. When questioned by detectives back in December, Haley didn't act like someone who was worried about facing serious allegations. She handed over her phone without a fight, and investigators soon discovered messages between her and the student discussing their relationship. Haley continued to communicate with the boy until just before Christmas of 2023, after which she packed up and headed to Texas to stay with family. But before she left, another witness confronted the victim's dad about his awareness of the situation. The dad's response? He seemed resigned to the fact that the authorities would act even if he didn't. So he's, you let the police handle it, right? Adding to the chaos, it was alleged that a student and Haley had used other classmates as lookouts during their encounters at the school. I mean, you can't get any crazier than that. And, or maybe you can get crazier. Maybe you can. After fleeing to Texas, she was arrested in January and brought back to Missouri. It seems that she packed up all her crap and went with family and wasn't coming back, right? And as if the story can't get any wilder, the victim's father was also charged with child endangerment for his inaction regarding reporting the whole mess, as he should have been. His case is currently on hold pending Haley's sentencing, and he's agreed to cooperate with authorities if needed. I bet he has now. It's mind-boggling to me how some people can just, you know, these teachers especially, crazy the amount of cases we have right now with these teachers and students, and especially, I don't know if, I mean, it happens with males as well, but it seems like the females get reported because you wouldn't expect it as much out of the females. But there you have it, another teacher student scam.
And we do at least one a week now on it's craziness and teachers and what the mayor in Louisiana and teachers and cops and
the mayor with
preachers and everybody this should be protecting and serving and helping
everybody going buck wild lately
the other way, right? Well, I'm gonna tell you another bad one. Alyssa Bustamante admitted to killing a 9-year-old girl in 2009. And the reason why shocked even the police. So the brutal 2009 murder of Elizabeth Olson has continued to haunt a Missouri community, partly for the crime itself, but also for the motive. The reason Elizabeth's teenage killer committed the crime, she said, was that she wanted to know what it felt like to kill. You know, that's not the first time this has happened. I've worked a case like that, and it's so shocking. And then you ask them why, and they said, I just want to know what it's like to kill somebody.
Yeah.
But the shocking case was in the news again earlier this summer when the killer, Alyssa Bustamante, who was 15 at the time of the slaying, was denied a chance at parole. The murder and Bustamante's attempt at getting released ultimately compelled lawmakers to change Missouri state laws regarding underage criminals convicted of murder when Governor Mike Parsons signed legislation for which Elizabeth's family had advocated. Now, here's what happened, y'all. Patty Priest called police on October 21st of 2009 after her 9-year-old daughter never returned to the family's St. Martin, Missouri home from visiting a friend's house that evening. Police eventually found the young girl buried in a shallow grave with her throat cut. She had been stabbed and strangled. Police were led to Bustamante after finding written evidence at the crime scene that implicated the teenager, who was a neighbor of Elizabeth's. And in the murder, she was implicated in the murder. And after an investigation, authorities also uncovered Bustamante's social media pages, which included references to wanting to know what it's like to kill someone, as well as a diary in which she confessed to the crime. I just fucking killed someone, the teenager wrote in her diary. I strangled them and slit their throat and stabbed them, and now they're dead. I don't know how to feel at the moment, or ATM, which is, I didn't even stood for that, but at the moment. She added, it was amazing. As soon as you get over the, oh my God, I can't do this feeling, it's pretty enjoyable.
Whoa.
Right? I'm kind of nervous and shaky though right now. Okay, I got to go to church now. LOL. What the fuck, bro? Investigators interrogated Bustamante for more than 2 hours while she confessed to the crime. The teenager's grandmother was in the interrogation room the moment her granddaughter admitted to the murder. The grandmother burst into tears and ran out of the room in shock. Bustamante was sentenced to life in prison in 2012 after pleading guilty to second-degree murder. The world lost an innocent little girl who had hoped to be a teacher and a veterinarian, her family said in a statement, adding that Bustamante's sentencing was extremely difficult for them to sit through. Isn't it crazy? But the only good thing that it is probably is this new legislation that was signed in the summer of 2024, which is going to keep Bustamante in prison for life. She's not getting a chance to get out, even though she was a juvenile at the time of the killing. And because she was juvenile at the time of the killing, she was eligible for parole due to the, and we talked about this on Blade Angle, 2014 U.S. Supreme Court ruling that court ruled 5-4 that no juvenile could be sentenced to life in prison without the chance of parole, even for murder. Now, like I told y'all, Missouri lawmakers said, fuck that. And they passed the bill in 2021 that said that ruling does not apply to juveniles who commit first degree murder. And I don't think it should.
No.
I mean, dude, I mean, that bitch, what the fuck? That's a what the fuck all the way. And it slit the little, a 9-year-old girl.
Yeah.
So the throat, because she wanted to feel, and then she said, oh, it was whatever, that twisted shit.
Yeah,
it's and wrote it down. And
best
again,
feeling ever.
And yeah, yeah. And then I got to go to church now. LOL.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of what the fuck,
right?
I'm going to give you a WTF. I'm going to lighten it up a little bit for a second. And I want you all to hold on to your hats, if you wear hats, folks. Because right. We've got a real winner in the weirdo department.
Here we come.
And his name is Sean Urob. Yeah. This 35-year-old has been stirring up trouble in Miami, and I'm not talking about the fun kind. Nope. We're talking about some seriously bizarre and gross behavior that has landed him on the radar of law enforcement. So here's the story. Uribe is accused of pulling off some truly creepy stunts in two separate incidents at local department stores. Now, he supposedly was following an unsuspecting woman around while armed with a medical syringe. He allegedly squirted an unknown liquid on the rear ends of his victims, all while filming the whole thing with his phone. God. For clicks, right?
All right.
So in June, he was at a Ross Dress for Less. A young woman became the unfortunate target of Uribe. Shoppers noticed something was off and alerted her that a guy was using a syringe to spray something on her. After the alarm was raised, Uribe, he made a run for it, but not before leaving his little souvenir, a stain on her jean shorts. And guess what? It was all caught on the store's surveillance cameras.
Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with a subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies, while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious, empowers them how to choose to learn. Now, Cindy used IXL in the classroom as a teacher and now uses it to homeschool our youngest son in the ninth grade. The videos are what she finds that benefits him most in math because he's a very visual learner. The perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum, IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational game lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving, and everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. Instant grading, helpful progress reporting. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. It's fun for kids, and kids love IXL's positive feedback, awards, and educational games. And it's trustworthy. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater in Heather Gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high-quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later.
So fast forward to late August, and Uribe, he was at it again, this time at a Marshall's department store. A woman reported that he approached her from behind and sprayed an unknown substance on her left butt cheek. The witness could not believe her eyes, and by the time she turned around to confront him, he was already bolting out the front door of the store. The police later matched Uribe's description to that earlier incident, and surprise, surprise, he was even rocking the same Miami Dolphins cap. Well, last week, the cops, they finally caught up with Uribe, and boy, did they have a list of charges ready for him. Battery on a minor, 2 counts of misdemeanor battery, and felony for tampering with evidence. After posting bail, he's now under house arrest, and the judge's orders are that he has to steer clear of his victims and department stores. Oh, and during a little chat with his dad while in custody, Uribe made quite a request. He wanted his father to go to their home and hide some hard drives. Oh, Lord. But, spoiler alert, the cops got there first. And when they searched the place, they found those hard drives exactly where Uribe said they'd be. Mm. Here's the kicker. Uribe claimed the liquid in those syringes was just Cetaphil, a moisturizing lotion. But let's be real, that doesn't exactly clear up the whole situation. Investigators also grabbed 3 syringes containing a white liquid that looked a lot like semen. Yes, sir. Along with some clothing and other forensic goodies. The contents of those hard drives are currently under review, and more charges might be on the way. So there you have it. Sean Uribe has officially earned his spot as a top contender for Weirdo of the Month and the honor of our WTF segment for today.
I tell you what.
How you like that?
I hope that, I mean, it's bad enough.
I mean, what?
I hope that
possesses
those
you.
Hard drives don't come back to him masturbating and ejaculating into those syringes.
I bet that.
Yeah, anything is bad. If somebody just throws shit on you, it's bad. Like getting gas as a correction officer when they throw shit or piss on you, but I could not imagine. Silence of Lambs? Yeah, but remember that she was on the cell and the guy was masturbating.
Yeah, the guy next to him.
Slung the semen out.
What's his name?
And he made him choke to death on his own tongue. Yeah.
How about that?
I just hope that.
Tell someone, just talk to him.
I really feel bad if it was semen. I mean, I feel bad for him, I guess, but if it's that dude's jizz, that's not.
You know, when you offend Hannibal Lecter, you've done something, right?
Yeah, I know. Right?
I mean, he's farmer beans and livers and everything.
Oh, my God. Well, let's keep on with murder and prison and quit every week. We talk about these teachers and shit, but also we talk about people getting cut up. And here we go again. So Devin Michaels pleaded guilty to 2023 murder of Jonathan Williott. Jonathan Williott. And a Nevada woman who pled guilty to murdering the father of her children is also accused of decapitating him and throwing his head in the trash. That's funny. What the fuck?
Yeah.
But here's a real catcher. She could potentially only spend 15 years in prison.
Now how is that possible?
I'll tell you about it. So Devin Michaels, 45, pleaded guilty to murder with a deadly weapon on Tuesday, September 17th, just over a year after she was arrested in Henderson, Nevada. And Michaels was arrested a week after police said the headless body of her boyfriend, Jonathan Willett, 47, was found by his mom next to bottles of ammonia and bleach on August the 8th of 2023. So It was reported at the time that prosecutors claimed that Michael disposed of Willette's head in the garbage, which was then likely taken by trash facility workers and never recovered.
Couldn't find it.
Right? That's crazy. The court records said that Michael's guilty plea was part of an agreement with prosecutors. And citing the agreement, that reported that Michaels could be sentenced to life, but with a chance at parole in 15 years.
Wow.
That's fucking crazy. That's like that little kid that wanted, they sentenced him for first degree murder, but I don't get it. A police report that Michaels told police she didn't intend to kill Willette and only meant to hurt him enough to send him to the hospital so she could figure out what she could do with her children. And Willette's mother, when found his body, she discovered a meat cleaver was missing, right?
Yeah.
Willette was born on an Air Force base in Tokyo, according to his obituary, and he owned a Las Vegas moving company. That is crazy.
That's insane.
Cut his head off, meat cleaver, and threw it away. I mean, you think about how big. I was walking outside a while ago, and I remember our training center for LPSO was next door to the dump, right?
Yeah.
And that in the morning times and the evening times, you get that really, really strong smell. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody drives by on the interstate can smell it at certain times of the day.
Yeah.
And on top of the dump, this fucker is so big. It's like a mountain.
Yeah.
You fly over it, you see it. But on top of it, they've got these sticks that come up and they spray deodorizer.
Is that what that is?
All day long, they spray the deodorizer to mask the smell of this fucking Mount Kilimanjaro size trash.
Yeah.
So that's why people think about, they just go to the dump and find a head. No, motherfucker. You go up like a mountain size and they layer this shit and they cover it with dirt and they layer it and they cover it with dirt and they layer it. I mean, and who knows how many hundreds of times a day trucks dump truckloads of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And then it gets spread out by bulldozers and whatever.
Wow.
Never going to find his head.
Never. Well, I'll tell you what, my favorite not movie, but TV series of all time is Boardwalk Empire.
That's
love
a really good one.
That HBO show.
NIL thing on about LSU?
Yeah.
On Prime. Have you seen it?
No.
Bro, you got to go watch it.
I have to check that out.
You know what NIL stands for? Name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all about.
So the NIL money is like their.
I'm looking at your shirt, the LSU shirt, and it's all about. It covers Olivia Dunn. It covers Jaden Daniels. It covers that girl that you like so much, the hurdler.
It
covers her. It covers a lesser known guy that plays on the basketball team. It has Gord McKernan, the attorney, in it. It said LSU is the number one school in the nation that recruits people for NIL reasons.
Yeah. They make some money too. Yeah, no doubt. Libby Dunn especially.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get back to Boardwalk Empire being my favorite movie. It's about Atlantic City, y'all, and it's about a mayor of Atlantic City played by Steve Buscemi, who did just a fabulous job in that.
He's a great actor.
But I'm going to tell you about the real mayor of Atlantic City,
right?
Because him and his wife are in some pretty hot water right now. Huh. That's right. The drama in Atlantic City has hit a whole new level. The mayor, Marty Small Jr., and his wife, Lakita Small, who also happens to be the local school superintendent, are facing some serious accusations involving their teenage daughter. According to the Atlantic County Prosecutor's Office, the couple crossed the line on multiple occasions, allegedly subjecting their daughter to both physical and emotional abuse during the winter months of December 2023 and January of 2024. The daughter, who was between 15 and 16 at the time, reported she endured some pretty shocking treatment. In one particularly troubling episode on January 3rd, it's claimed that Small Sr. threatened his daughter with some wild and violent talk during a heated argument. He said he would earth slam her.
What?
Earth Slammer. Earth Slammer down the stairs and even mentioned throwing her to the ground. The accusations didn't stop there. He also is said to have repeatedly punched her in the legs, leaving behind some pretty nasty bruises. But wait, there's more. Lakita is accused of joining in on the chaos by punching their daughter in the chest multiple times. And if that wasn't enough, there's an allegation that Marty dragged his daughter by her hair and whipped her with a belt. Things even escalated further later on when Small Sr. struck his daughter in the head with a broom, leaving her unconscious. He knocked her out with the broom. So as of September 17th, both Marty and Lakita Small have been indicted on serious charges, including second degree endangering the welfare of a child. And Marty is also facing additional charges related to terroristic threats and aggravated assault. Now, in a statement to the press, Small Sr. defended his family, claiming that people are only hearing one side of their story and they're eager to share their perspective. His lawyer chimed in, insisting that this is a legal mess and it has nothing to do with Marty's role as a mayor and that it's merely a private family matter. I mean, that's bizarre. The attorney went on to say that both Marty and Lakita are simply good parents raising a teenager, and they're confident they'll be cleared of all charges. Yeah. So real life Boardwalk Empire here, but I can't remember Steve Buscemi's character in that movie. Chucky.
I watched every one of them.
Nucky.
No, yeah.
Nucky wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
Nucky ain't hitting his daughter with no broom.
That is just, I don't know, bro. I don't know. Have you been in Atlantic City?
No, I have not. Have you?
I've been twice. So not. I went for work, not for gambling stuff, but it was pretty cool.
Did you ride the roller coaster?
I didn't ride the roller coaster, but man. I did go on the boardwalk day.
There you go.
They, kind of a dying town. I hate to say that to my you lifers out there, but just different. It's totally, totally different. Yeah. Now, normally we don't talk about suicides on the show, but this is a murder-suicide, and it's kind of disturbing. Deborah Hudson and her younger sister, Dolores Hooker, were found dead, right? And police are investigating the deaths of these two elderly women, sisters, in Georgia on Sunday, September the 19th, with evidence currently leading authorities to believe it was a murder-suicide. The Chatham County Police Department said in a statement this week on social media that officers responded to the sisters' home around 5:30 p.m. on Sunday, discovering the two women dead from gunshot wounds. Witnesses on the scene said the deceased women were sisters. Witnesses said one sister entered the home and shot the other sister before turning the gun on herself. The Chatham County Police said investigators are currently waiting to receive the results of autopsy reports on two sisters and that the investigation is active and ongoing. The office, they identified the two women as 71-year-old Deborah Hudson and 70-year-old Dolores Hooker. And the neighbors told the local news that the sisters' 98-year-old father, who the sisters were taking care of at the house, was inside the home during the shooting, and that there were ongoing issues between the siblings for years. That's fucking crazy. One of the news outlets reported that witnesses say Hooker, the younger sister, the 70-year-old, had recently become homeless and was trying to convince Hudson and their father to allow her to live in the house with them. And neighbors told the news that the Hooker broke into the house through the back door and shot Hudson in the chest before turning the gun on herself. So you think about sisters killing each other. Why in the fuck are you going to do it when you're 70 and 71?
Right.
Right. And your 98-year-old daddy's in the house.
You know, a lot of these crimes that we cover lately. It's these, especially the shootings. Yeah. Like these 60, and you get to be 65, you don't put up with no shit, man. I mean, somebody cut you off in a drive-thru, you're going to blow their head off.
All the time. And that's another, it seems like
crazy
theme day of like the 13-year-olds being murdered and then this. And lately, talking about the teachers and you know, all that kind of stuff, but also the older people.
Yeah.
I say that, and I'm almost that age now. I'm like almost 65, but the 60s, 70s, 80s, I don't give a fuck.
People just be you gonna light someone up when you're about 75, Woody?
Not long. Yeah, but,
it was maybe if I got stage 4 or something or another, I might just go ahead and kill the people I don't like.
There you go. Well, we're going to go to, I'm going to tell you about this. This is actually a tragic story, and it probably happens more often than people realize. But we're going to bring you to Massachusetts, and I'm going to tell you about a State Police Academy recruit. And the Massachusetts State Police Academy is reeling after the untimely death of a recruit by the name of Enrique Garcia. He's 25 years old. And his family is now calling for a thorough investigation following the incident that occurred during a training exercise last week. So let me tell you about this. On Thursday, a defensive tactics session that included boxing, they were in the midst of, and Enrique suffered an injury that left him unresponsive. Despite the quick response from the Academy's medical team, who rushed him to UMass Memorial Medical Center, he sadly passed away the next day. In a touching farewell, officers administered the oath of office to Enrique in a bilingual ceremony during his final hours, surrounded by loved ones and classmates, and his memorial was marked with a poignant moment of pinning his trooper badge, a symbol of his commitment to serving the community. Now, as the investigation unfolded, Worcester County District Attorney Joseph Early announced that his agency will take the lead in investigating the incident, citing a potential conflict of interest. The boxing training at the academy had previously been suspended in the late 1990s due to concerns over injuries. That according to Todd McGee, who is a retired state police officer. McGee explained the program aimed to prepare recruits for real-life confrontations, but injuries had prompted a significant overhaul. Under his watch, they implemented measures like matching opponents based on size, protective gear, and structured rounds to enhance safety. Now, despite these precautions, McGee admitted that injuries like the one faced by Enrique are exceedingly rare. While this is a tragedy, it should never have happened. Injuries to this level are very rare, reflecting on his experience of training hundreds of recruits. The governor expressed her sorrow on the loss, emphasizing Enrique's dedication to his future career in law enforcement. But, you know.
Hey, everybody, it's Aggo. Listen up, especially you ladies over 40. I've got some good news. It's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution. It relieves symptoms of menopause. It promotes healthy weight loss and curbs cravings. It improves sleep quality. It reduces bloating and gas. It relieves hot flashes. It can even relieve occasional mood swings, although nothing like that has ever happened in my house. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalance should take it, but it's perfect for the horrible menopause symptoms that make you put your life on hold. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and code RLRC at checkout for 15% off today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
People don't think about the training that's involved within these police officers' jobs. This probably happens more frequently than people think.
I'll tell you a couple things about it. One, defensive tactics. It's a whole session of the academy that you have to pass in and of itself. That's how you defend yourself. That's how you cuff people. That's how you use your baton. Any type of use of force besides your firearm.
Yeah.
And it used to be the norm that you had to get in a boxing ring. And what it was, they usually tried to put you in with somebody that was bigger than you that beat your ass. And they want you to feel what it's like to actually be in a fight, right? Because a lot of times you have to fight people on the street. And they want you to what it feels like if you're getting beat and not to lose your cool and shit like that. And so, look, it actually got, I'm not going to say names. It actually, that part, I know someone that got killed in the same way that this happened with an agency, and it was the boxing shit, and they have since outlawed it, and they took it out. I think it was nose got shoved in his brain or whatever when it hit.
God.
And I mean, of course, it was a freak accident.
Sure.
But they're, you know, nowadays most people don't use that level of that level of extreme training that they do make you fight. Like they'll even spray you with the freeze plus P and make you wait a minute, and then you have to fight somebody to handcuff them when you can't see. You know, you play the way you practice. But I don't even think the answer is that, because people, I mean, you'd be surprised the amount of cops you can go into the cat who've never been in a fist fight.
Yeah.
I mean, motherfucker, you're going to get in a fist fight when you're a police.
100%.
It's going to happen. And it's going to be your life against theirs.
That's right. And, you know, with the major rise in specifically in jiu-jitsu now, you know, jiu-jitsu is all about leverage, and and so you want to get that opponent to the ground. It's not as much about stand up now, but let me tell you, you got an officer that's trained in jiu-jitsu, unless they're fighting someone that's trained in jiu-jitsu, they're probably going to get the upper hand really fast.
All that training they teach you. There was a couple things I would use, like a palm heel strike and different things. The knee to the side of the leg, that's effective as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Like somebody's resisting, you're trying to pull away. Put your knee to that side, and it just.
I've been hit with that.
I forget the name of it. The brachial stun's another real one.
Yeah.
You hit them on the neck like that. It just sends them in a shot, but you don't do it for no reason. You only do it like they're attacking you. They teach you these moves, and look, they teach you when you're in that part of the academy, they hit you with these motherfuckers. And I remember my buddy, when I were trying to play it off, he went and went to the Border Patrol, David Johnson. We were trying, and he was like 6'4", and we're doing the strikes to the neck. And, you know, you don't do it wide open, but they don't want you to be a P-word about it either. They want you to feel this feeling. Like he and I teamed up, and we're trying to take it easy on each other, right? Oh, the instructor saw it and came up and said, oh, you want to take it easy on him? Let me show you how it's done. Bam! It hit me, knocked me almost out. I was like for 15 minutes, I was on the floor. I was like, okay, it worked. So let me tell you, you know, no laughing matter, though. There's going to be a huge funeral and everything, and as it should be. I mean, this guy, whether you die at the end of your career or the beginning of your career, you know, it's going to be mass respect and everything.
That's right.
And in Louisiana, Louisiana Funeral Services, Roy, Kristen, and Kristen, you know, they do it all. They have the, you know, they can do cremations and burials, and they have the, you know, funeral parlor there, and they can do it all. And
it's a one-stop shop.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, on more of a lighter side, on the pet side, the Louisiana Pet Crematory.com. Mm-hmm. Right. So I got to tell you this story real quick before we end. I mentioned last week about the hummingbirds. My wife always kills the plants. And so, I go outside one day and I see this thing hanging. It's got all these birds around. I realize it's hummingbirds. I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. I'd never seen it before. Yeah. Cause I don't pay attention to shit like that. Mm. And then I told her, I said, why don't you move that in front of your office window so you can see it when you work? Well, the next thing I know, there's two of them hanging. It's a long porch, right? And then there's like 20 birds going around. Well, this weekend I walked around the back porch, not far from one of the hummingbirds. And she said, well, at least I can't kill these. And I said, at least you can't kill these. Like you always kill the plants, right?
Right.
Walk around the porch, dead hummingbird.
Kidding me.
But look, and they're so beautiful. It's blues and greens and whatever. Mm. So I didn't want to hurt her feelings. So I was like, Mork and Mindy, I grabbed by the wing and said, fly, be free, and threw it out in the yard, right? Probably not the appropriate thing. But later on, I go around the backside of the porch again, another dead hummingbird. I'm telling you, I let him fly, be free. Later on, I walk out again, another dead hummingbird. Four birds in one day.
What's killing them?
They fly into those big glass windows.
Oh.
So I wish, they were like my pets, I would have certainly sent them to Roy and Kristen and Kristen, because they could have hooked them up to their pet side. Roy, I don't know if y'all ever stuffed or did something special with a hummingbird. But we got
four of them for you.
But seriously though, Jim, I know you took your loved one there.
Yeah,
they took care of y'all and your time, and they have everything there. LouisianaPetCrematory.com. They just total honor and respect. Roy and Kristen, they're a humongous American flag, and Broussard, Louisiana, and their motto is
rest easy. And check them out, LAPetCrematory.com.
That's right, and LAFuneralServices.com.
Yep,
best people there are. And we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for tuning in. And that's all I got.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Everton.
And we're your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.